Let's officially welcome everybody. And California, where are we all coming from? Remote parts. This is fun. And happy Super Bowl pre-Valentine. Middle Olympics, whatever else we can designate the day.
Yeah, go Chiefs. Yeah.
Go Chiefs. I'm sorry. I'm not a Super Bowl fan anymore. I don't know what happened to me. I must have got a disease or something.
Not either.
Yeah, that started as soon as the Seahawks started losing.
Probably that did it. Yeah, that and all the knee bending and all that stuff. So I just, yeah. I will not probably follow it. I'm going to take my wife around game time, about 2:15. We're going to go to our Valentine's dinner today. So instead of trying to fight the crowds tomorrow night,
where are you going to go?
A nice little restaurant up on the hill, Chart House. We haven't been there for years and years.
Oh.
It'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
Well, happy anniversary.
Well,
or belated anniversary.
Well, yeah. We don't hold anything to the Bettendorfs, but my goodness, 63 years since getting engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Yep, you would have thought all those years ago with that little redhead girl.
Oh, the little red. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jerry proposed in a cabbage patch. I didn't propose, but my first meeting was in the field spreading manure. So that's how.
If she'll accept you after all that, Dennis, you're okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty smelly meeting. I don't know. She walked out in the field and wanted to say hi to me.
Hard to beat that one, Dennis.
I think a cabbage patch sounds much nicer than
Yes.
You can't beat the manure pile.
Well, there was obviously, you know, what can you say? There was not a lot to be excited about there, but except seeing her, that was a bright spot. So. Yeah. love is in the air. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So I asked a question about God realizations, and thinking through my week past week, there's been several things. Wife's birthday was a special time and a sensitive time, but I saw God working in it. Definitely saw God. When you get sick, you get a different view of God. You realize him in different ways than you would have thought of. But so he's there. And I just more and more have the confidence that whether I see him or not, Christ in the Father, we're in the Father, we're totally engulfed in God, all in all. Where have you seen him? What's Dave? You're in California. How's it going with Don and the family of her deceased friend?
It's going well. I know for some, they're really masking the hurt. A little bit of background. The lady that passed on Friday about 6 a.m. in the morning, Don had been friends with this lady since kindergarten.
Wow.
They were best friends. My wife is 66, so you're looking at a 61-year friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very close-knit family. A lot of pain, a lot of laughter, a lot of sharing of good times. Have I seen God work? Not sure I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you all, Andy, Christy, I know you weren't on last week. Arnold had asked a very interesting question. We had been talking about how should we pray for Arnold during surgeries. And Arnold said, what happens if I die on the operating table? How are you going to pray for me then? And the question was pretty much ignored because the question was incredibly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I know it kind of unnerved me. But I called Arnold later in the week and talked to him about it. And then after that conversation, or no, I had that conversation with him while I was in California. But when Don came home from work and told me that Isabel was very sick and was probably going to die, we caught a flight down here, and Don got to see Isabel before she died.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But then I realized how important that question was that Arnold asked last week. And personally, for me, this trip, I have discovered it's not Isabel I'm praying for. Okay, I know where Isabel is. Mm-hmm. Isabel is with Christ. So I discovered that my prayer is for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it's the first chapter, Paul talks about how God comforts us. Okay, if I'm seeking God's comfort, then God will help me comfort those around me. Okay, so I've discovered that my prayer is for the family, that they will be comforted by Christ, and that their hearts, minds, ears, eyes, everything will be open to see God's presence in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And to see God's presence in their own lives. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's, to me, still in line with what God's prayer was. I mean, Paul's prayer was in Philippians, and I believe similar prayer in Ephesians. But it's still a prayer of realizing God in you. Mm-hmm. And understanding that he's here to comfort you and be with you through this tough time.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you're talking
about.
Go ahead, Dave. Well, I'm just going to ask, where do you see the family in terms of their awareness of God? Are they religious, spiritually, however you'd call them?
Not overly.
Okay.
One of the daughters, I believe, is involved in church. One of the daughters isn't, but I know that there's a faith in God.
Mm.
Not sure where the son is at.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's there. It's just not advertised, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're aware of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They know their mother, Isabel, was very strong in her belief of God.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, she didn't attend church or anything, but she knew him. She was very much aware of him. And very, very faithful in that respect.
Mm.
So,
was she a part of a church down there or a community?
No.
You said she didn't go. That's right.
Yeah, she didn't go. She was 20 plus years ago. She became very, very ill.
Mm.
And while in the hospital that 20 plus years ago, the doctor said she would not walk out of that hospital. She was going to die.
Wow.
And obviously she walked out of the hospital. The thing that really kept her going was her grandchildren.
Hmm.
Okay. She was not, I mean, Isabel was a very strong lady. She has very strong children. You really don't want to get on the wrong side of them. But yeah, Isabel was very, very aware of God's presence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm sure she attributed a lot of her continuing living over the last 20 years to him.
Okay. So it sounds like there was a deep faith, at least in manifesting in her.
And I think it's in her children. They, to some extent, they just haven't realized it yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I will real need to pray for a new neighbor that we have here because, well, he passed away and has left a wife. It was very sudden. And I got thinking, I really don't know how to pray. Mm. I don't want to feel guilty that I'm praying the wrong way, that something would not happen or happen with the wife. And then I got thinking, you know, I don't need to worry about that. The Holy Spirit knows my heart and knows what I want to say. And I don't have the words and I don't want to, I do not want to feel guilty after having just left the Catholic Church, guilt, and getting into something else. I didn't want to feel that. And I feel okay when I realize I don't need to know exactly, do I? Because I know Jesus knows, the Holy Spirit knows, God knows what's in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I don't put the words right, I think it's going to be okay. My prayers are still going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joni, that's a great thought. It isn't, I think it's Romans, Dennis, that it says when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, too, is people feel like they get really hung up or tied up with the right thing to say, because I've been there, too, and it's very hard. Sometimes, though, what I think can speak the loudest is, you know, bringing by some snacks or, you know what I mean? It's more of if someone feeling that love or feeling the words of comfort in something that's shown connection over maybe the right words. Yeah. I don't know, they're just aren't, and that's okay. They just, everybody sort of, I think, you know, needs different things, and you don't necessarily have all the right things to say for the right need in that sense, but you can show God through in a different way. Yeah.
I like that, Chrissy. That, what a great point. We become, I know, as evangelical Christians, very sanctimonious in our thinking about prayer. Oh, I know how to pray richly. Or when I say to another person, I'm praying for you, it almost comes off anymore as like, what? Okay, thank you. But, you know, and it's kind of like, I know how to do this and I'll do it for you. And so you're going to benefit from my ability to say all these prayers. Mm. How many more times does just being there, loving or giving, as the Lord said, giving a cup of water, say so much more and have such greater impact?
Mm-hmm.
Just your presence. I'm learning more and more. I don't know how about you guys, but if Christ is living in me, and he is, I'm walking as Jesus, I got to believe that other people are going to sense that too. He's not hiding. No. Now, they may not know who that is, but they're going to sense.
It ties right in with what you're saying this morning. What did we see this week? How did we feel Christ?
Yeah.
And all throughout the week, but you know, you don't really think about it like that, but it's this beautiful sunny weather, or, you know, something where it just feels different, or it feels even peace and the comfort in,
excuse me,
you know, in a way that, but you don't really know that, but that really is that.
To me, to me, prayer is something God places in your heart and he wants you to talk to him about it. So what I don't see prayer as something I do on my own. I see it as God gives me something that he talk with him about. Whenever I have a prayer, I immediately identify he wants me to talk with him about this. And then he oftentimes just give me the answer or reveals in life.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, Dennis, I think when we talk about there being a certain way to pray, or there being, you know, we shouldn't pray this or shouldn't pray that, we get into a dangerous situation. Going into Luke, I think it's Luke 12, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. I think that's the verse that David was referring to, but it might not be. But if Christ is in us, and we have that realization, he is going to give us the words. And, you know, we could be completely real with Jesus. You know, we can talk to him as we would talk to any good friend that we have.
And it's not something that you're even always consciously aware of.
No.
Well, I didn't. Man, did I think of Jesus? No, it's, forget that. It's not something we have to consciously contrive in our minds. Oh, okay, Jesus is with me now. No, it's life, all of life. And so our hearts, wherever he's in our hearts, wherever our hearts are prompting us, Joni, your heart is being prompted toward this neighbor lady.
Yeah.
And you know, that's Jesus. And so however that your heart leads you to express whatever it is, just a word of consolation, word of comfort, maybe a bowl of soup, who knows? However, God, that heart leads us, and it's so fun to realize that. You don't have to work it up and think, okay, what words do I say? What powerful prayer formula do I need to express? No, it however your heart's leading you, and maybe sometimes it's not even words.
You know, Jesus told us, and he mentions in scripture, do not forbid or do not stop the children from coming to him.
Okay.
And I think it's the same way with us. Whenever we want to be close to him, whenever we want to be near to him, or whenever we want to pray, it's the same way. Don't put up roadblocks, or, you know, some traditions, or, you know, whatever kind of thing that we've learned before. You know, just be outright honest with him, be real with him, and
childlike, right?
Yeah,
Johnny, just be you. Just be innocent.
Yeah,
childlike.
Exactly. I think we've read too many books on how to pray.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's a bazillion books out there on how to pray, and I don't recall any of them talking about just let it come naturally.
Right.
My wife and I went over to see my brother yesterday. My brother lives here in Simi Valley. I have not talked to my brother since 2008.
Wow.
Not because I didn't want to. I mean, I tried. My brother and I have just never had a close relationship. But I'm in Simi Valley. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have even thought about calling him if my wife hadn't said something. So
wives are really good that way. They
So I called my brother, left a voicemail, told him I was in town, I'd like to get together. when we got together yesterday, the last time I saw my brother, like I said, was 2008, when my dad died.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably, I mean, when we left, we got there about 1:30 in the afternoon. I think we left at 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Wow.
I looked at my wife and I said, I am amazed at how natural that visit went. It was like we had never been apart.
All right. Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, my point to that is, following up on what Dennis and Scott said, our prayer just needs to come naturally. Mm-hmm. We just need to let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let Christ guide it and let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We there so
were, go there ahead. Were times after my mom passed where I really showed some anger and some frustration towards God. Because obviously because I just, you know, suffered the loss of my mom, which is the only death, you know, the first and only death that I've ever encountered in my life. But, you know, my prayer was, you know, why didn't you heal her? You know, it took me a long time to realize that he had healed her in his way. But, you know, I didn't come to him with some religious agenda. I was being totally real with God, even though I was angry.
It's interesting. I definitely have a different take on death now that I have the Jesus in me realization. To me, when
somebody has got pretty big shoulders, you can handle
yourself. when somebody passes, it just they feel so close still. So I don't, you know what I mean? Because Christ is in me, and the earthly heavenly realm doesn't feel the same as it used to. It feels more like right here. So, so I don't have that same kind of a, oh, now they're far away or anything. And then, the more time goes by, I mean, honestly, the closer the heavenly realm also feels, it could happen at any time, kind of. Mm-hmm. But so I'm good with that in that sense. You know what I mean? Like sure. other people pass, I kind of feel like they're still with you. They are with you, and that's this Christ is in us and with us and everything. It's such a different place to be rather than me and this other person really far up there or something like that. It's not like that. Different.
If
you know, Dennis, this doesn't sound like any normal Sunday morning church service.
No.
Talking about death and praying for dead people or like, yeah, not the stuff that we normally talk about in the Sunday morning sermon. No, Chrissy, when you're right on. This is the thing that I try to comprehend. Christ in me, well, in the dead people, as Paul says, have died in Christ.
Right.
So they're in him. So in some way, they're there with me as well.
Yeah.
On the other side, Paul talks about in many of his letters, he said, I may not be there in flesh with you, but I'm there in spirit. I'm there right with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to comprehend that. How's he transcend and get, you know, be in a different place? It's kind of it's Star Trek stuff. It really is.
Will we count that as the cloud of witnesses that he speaks of?
I think so. Got it. It's that dimension that we all live in, but don't really see it. And those that have gone on are in that dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, your mother is closer now than she ever was.
Yeah. I've had a couple of experiences like I related to you where mm-hmm. I can feel that she's closer.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only difference, you still have a body, whereas she doesn't. That's really the only difference.
But we're both waiting for the same thing.
We're all waiting for new bodies. Yes. We're all going to mm-hmm. get those bodies same time. Mm-hmm. But death is just living without the body.
Yeah.
We're not visible. Nobody can see us.
I think that's what the people call the supernatural.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the eyes to see what's on the other side of that dimension.
No, no.
There have been people who have been blessed with seeing
right.
Things that are on the other side.
Mm-hmm. But how many times have people said, I could just feel their presence, or I could, you know, right. I mean, have that spirit connection all the time. I mean, really.
Well, when I was sick, I was in recovery. I had a very intense visceral vision of my father.
Wow.
I was like in despair. Life is pretty bleak. And I walked to my kitchen. The kitchen got filled up with this really warm glow. I thought I was just having a mental thing. And then I started, this overwhelming joyous laughter came over me. And I started laughing. I had no idea why. I was in the deepest depression. And I started laughing. And then out of the corner of my eye, I could see my father, my dad, laughing alongside me. And I was like, I didn't know what to make of it. And I was so freaked out. And I thought, you know, you tell yourself, yeah, brain cancer, that was just your brain, something mm-hmm. wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You dismiss it for a long time and it just stays with you. And for a while, I started to realize I've really had an experience there. And that was kind of when my everything in my life really started to shift. It was like 2012 and right mm-hmm. before my remission. And I just started going through all these like spiritual changes in my life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to me, death is kind of like, I don't mean to sound anyway numb about death, but to me, it's kind of like big deal, you know? it's just uh-huh. the next step to my real life, you know?
So don't get
like that. You know?
I like that. Next step to my real
life. Yeah.
Nice.
Keep in mind, the only thing separating us from that other dimension is that we right now don't have the eyes to see what's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I got this little glimpse into mm-hmm. that, and at least that comfort. And I thought, well, I'm going to be people to see Jesus and a piece of toast. I was like, that's what people are going to think of me. And I was like, this really was a real thing. And it changed me.
Yeah.
It's hard because like, I don't tell a lot of people about it because I don't want to say, oh, you're just crazy, man. But it was real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure it was.
We get those dimension glimpses. We get those, you know, connections. And I think that it is very real. And it's that is part of that comfort at the right time when it's like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. this
mm-hmm.
kind of that's that seeing God, just like you're talking about, Dennis, all through the week. I mean, I know there are people who really feel they just that. It's more just like of a feeling, maybe, you know, like
sure.
you see something, but you
yeah,
that
yeah. And it's really the God realizations are just little snippets,
yeah.
just little snapshots
yeah.
of what Andy you just referred to as what's beyond the curtain, what's the real life. We have a real life,
mm-hmm.
and that life is Christ. We don't it's so hard whether in our physical senses right now to see or know that, but it's there. In fact, Paul says we're hidden in that. The amazing secret is that's the real and not what we're feeling and touching and sensing right now. That's not real.
Yeah.
So when you talk about God realization or things like that, I've had so many of them that my mind hurts. Like I've had so many of them. And I saw this meme on Instagram today. I put on our story of this guy, like, all joyous, loving God, like, and then, like, going, you know, when God do things for him, when he finally does, he's held up in a blanket. Because when so, God does stuff to you, it's, like, really overwhelming. It's really powerful. Uh-huh. And it feels like, almost like an attack, but it's not. You start seeing all these blessings come along. But I've had so many of these happen over the last, like, how long has it been, 10, 12, 8 years, 10 years? Okay. Oh, my God. Like, it seems like every other day something in my life happens that, and wow, like, why is it happening? And it's like, I always go back to the whole thing, when you're weak, it's when God's really working.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's interesting, though, that overwhelming feeling. I like that feeling, because it is, you, once your eyes are awakened to that realization, mm-hmm, of Christ, that's a huge one, because you do start to feel overwhelmed of spirit, emotion, all of the things. How do I process this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But man, your life is really honestly just starting.
now when something like that comes, it's almost like I get excited, because mm-hmm, I know God's doing something.
Yeah.
And you're terrified, you know.
What's happening?
Now it's like, so something's coming.
And just to have those, I go back to what Joni was saying about praying for a neighbor, just to even have those feelings of love being toward someone, that's that in itself. We often think, okay, I'm just feeling sorry for someone. Where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. That's God. Not us. That's an expression of God himself. Mm-hmm. And we go, oh my goodness. Thank you, Father. You're showing me you. And I'm feeling you, and I can experience you as you're wanting to reach out through my physical being to this other person. Mm-hmm. And love isn't anything we have. Love is, that's God.
All God.
It's all God.
Yeah.
It's all God. We aren't capable of loving.
No.
At that's all.
We stress heavily a lot around our house here that you love for Christ, don't mm-hmm. love for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You love
yeah.
him for another story. Yeah.
So Dave had to drop off. He just, his connection went bad. He may try to get back on, but that question, I was hoping that he would share more about he and his conversation with Arnold over that. And I think it was really, touching him. He's faced death himself so many times.
Yeah. Dave has pretty much gone through the same thing.
Yeah. So it just struck him when Arnold said that it hit that nerve and hit that thing in Dave that he's realizing some of the, he's coming around to the same things. Wow, our existence is really so temporary, and while we're in this life, it really is about trying to see God here now, mm-hmm. and not wait, expecting that someday we'll see. No, we have all the capacity to mm-hmm. know and experience God this side of our body, and it's powerful.
Yeah, one of the things. So when Arnold said that the word he kept hearing was
mm-hmm.
common,
mm-hmm.
I liked that a lot, because I think that when God says that He will never forsake us, I mean, He means it. He's not yeah. joking yeah. around. So. Right. Have that confidence, I think then that leads to the overwhelming sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even there are so many times and where you are faced with something difficult or you're going through something hard, and it just feels like you have that feeling of, is this the forsaking that I heard ever going to happen? And absolutely not. He is right there mm-hmm. with you. And mm-hmm. guiding it, and he's with you, and he's strengthening you, and there's just so I don't know, I liked that confidence. I think that is faith. I think that is where that strength of faith really lies, is in the confidence.
Sure. Yeah. He's hearing that term in his spirit. Mm. Now, all that that means to him, obviously, we don't know. All we can say is, okay, we just agree, mm-hmm. Arnold, that your confidence will remain strong. The confidence that you've sensed. See, he's gone through this before, and it's not like this is all new to him, or he doesn't have any idea what to expect. He came through near death before. And those moments, they called the family together and said, this may be it. He was so he was so near passing. And he came through it and came back into the fullness of his physical body, we might say. So he's been there. He's saying, I just hope, you know, I'm praying for the confidence just to know I can do this again. I can go through this, and I know God is there. I've learned that before, and that's just going to be with me. And so, wow, I really marvel at that. You can face. This is going to be quite a trying time for him. You know, all this extensive surgeries, and they're going to go in and totally remove everything they've done before, and the extent that they're going to try to eliminate any bacterial kinds of residue. He told me they have to take all the hardware out and actually pack those cavities with substances that kill anything in there, and then get it so sterilized, and then put all the hardware back in. It together. How's a body endure all of that? Well, that's the confidence that he's wanting to hold on to. Yeah, I can do this. I can do it because Christ is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, do I have that kind of confidence? Sometimes mine wavers. I'm sure you have times, everybody, that you, especially if it's something you've not gone there before, haven't gone this way before, and so, you know, we can say, well, yeah, I've done this once, okay, we can do it again, but that, yeah, there's still so many unknowns, and that's the thing we want to have confidence and assurance over.
What's unknown to us is very known to God.
It's very known to God.
Just have faith, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. It's up to God. I don't have any control. So for me, it's like I'm literally a cork on the ocean. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just going wherever he takes me. And
here's when I say God realizations, one of the biggest ones for me is exactly that, Andy. Stop trying to be strong enough. Stop trying to figure out, okay, what can I do? And just release yourselves into the love and hands of Father.
I want that. So bad. Not there yet, but I want that.
Yeah.
That struggle that we have, isn't that a struggle between the self?
Yeah, but it's still that lingering phantom I.
Yeah,
it's still there.
Uh-huh.
A
lot of people deal with that. I was just talking to a girl this morning on Twitter, saying the same thing to her. You gotta quit trying to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and wait on him, and in time he will bless that waiting. You know.
We can't, probably the hardest thing to deprogram in our minds is that we no longer are alive. In other words, our I is no more.
Yeah.
Just study Galatians 2:20 and what Paul says there. Yeah, I live, but it's no longer I.
To me, that realization, because I didn't have that full understanding until the Christ in me realization, to me, it felt freeing because I felt like, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to do any of this anymore. Right. Felt more like I didn't have a good grasp on this or didn't. But I don't have to. And that that felt good to me. It felt, I mean, I think that at times that still comes up. That's just, I think, natural.
My whole life I've done everything on myself. And I've got it. It's up to me. It's up to me. It's like now, over the last few months, it's been, I'm learning slowly to let go of that part and just sit back and watch the show. Like, I'm like,
yes.
You know, you look at our
my feet. I meditate and pray, but you know, it's not like I'm just like not doing anything. But it's different.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
Yeah, I love it, Andy. You've got the great one-liners today. Just sit back and watch the show. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like that. I mean, God's gonna do what God's gonna do. I mean, it's not really much else you can do except follow him, stay with him. I don't know.
Show him. Yeah.
Yeah. Show him off and tell everybody that. Show him off. Yeah.
See, getting rid of the me, I. There's so many things that traps us into worry, frustration.
Well, look at look at what we glom onto, Dennis. Yeah. When we get into the making ourselves the center of our own universe, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Hey, look. There's a pile of cocaine there. Let me glom onto that instead of going back to the Lord. There's alcohol. There's cigarettes, there's bad relationships, there's everything that we use to make ourselves feel better.
Well, and why, Scott? Why do we resort to those things?
That's a great question.
we don't have the truth, or we don't realize the truth.
We choose those chemicals of choice because we are still trying to uphold the imagery, the concept, the image of who we think we are.
Yeah. And who does the world tell us that we need to be?
Well, the world is reinforcing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You can be what you want to be.
And you're exactly right on that deprogramming of what the world tells you, like female empowerment, you need to be, or that, men should be this way, that way, or women should be this way. The world deprogramming is such a huge part of all of it. And once that true self happens and dead, it's like, oh, that old self was all world and you didn't even realize that.
He had no idea. It's all built on a lie.
Right.
I'm not trying to quote Star Wars here, but Master Yoda in Star Wars said you have to unlearn what you have learned. Yeah. And that's exactly what you have to hear.
Yeah. Exactly.
You see, Dennis, I told you.
Yes, Scott, we've known all along. Yeah, Star Wars, there's some great theology in Star Wars.
It really does, but I mean, a lot of movies have taken from the Bible, but Yoda has some of the best quotes ever.
Yes.
Unlearn it. It's not easy.
You do.
It's not easy. Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, I ran into one of the new hires at work that they were shoveling through the system. I got the chance to spend a couple hours with him, just to show him around and what things were like and what we do. And it got to be the end of the time, you know, the end of my day anyway. And we're walking back to the shop, and he's thinking about something. He's thinking about, so I could tell he wanted to ask a question. So I looked at him and I said, "Well, is there anything else you want me to let you know to tell you about?" And it just floored me because, you know, what he told me was, you know, he told me, he said, you know, there's something different about you. Because he had already been, you know, been through a couple of trainers and, you know, seen a few other of the, you know, the rough and tumble TriMet people that are glad. But, you know, I kind of took that, as a compliment.
Oh, yeah. Kind of. Yeah, Scott.
Any chance we can be separate or away from what the world is, that is a huge compliment. You are
yes.
Standing apart, Scott.
Yes, I have never fully fit in, like, anywhere I go, anything I've done. And I wonder, why do I ever fit into these things? And it's because it's not what God wants.
We're not supposed to.
That's right.
Yeah. What does that scripture tell us, Dennis? Absent from the body?
Well, yes, we absence from the body at home with the Lord.
Right.
And it's Paul's statement about I'd rather be with the Lord. But we take it, we don't understand what he's really saying there. I'm convinced he's not talking about being with the Lord away from the earth or wherever, as we think of it. We at home with the Lord, I'd rather be there than here in this body. Paul already qualified that. He said, I don't know which way to choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you realize what he's saying there, then when he says to be home with the Lord, he's at home now with the Lord. He's saying it all that matters is I just being in Jesus. And I can be in Jesus in the body. I can be in Jesus after death. That's what he's saying. It's not earth now, heaven next. No, he's saying, I can't tell which to choose. All I want is to be at home in the Lord.
Right.
And it doesn't matter where in the body or next life. Right.
Thing is that I just am.
Yes.
Christ.
That's yes.
So great.
Having that realization, Paul's greatest desire was to know Jesus and to have that realization that he lives in him. This is what he called the secret.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it. This is the expectation of his evangel.
Yeah.
The secret. He was pressed to share the secret, and it was a secret he was growing in. The realization that Christ is my life. I am hidden in him. And how to dispense that to others, helping others see it as well.
Yeah.
This was his mission. And it becomes our mission as we're talking about praying for people. We're talking about how to express love to people. Letting Christ just do his thing. Mm-hmm. Get out of the way. All of us need to just step aside and just let Jesus just let him shine.
Once we realize how it is that Jesus works through us,
mm-hmm.
we'll be less inclined to get in his way and just allow him to do what he's going to do.
We get in the way, Scott, so many times.
Oh, yeah. I'm
going to show you us or Jesus.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When we come off with these pompous prayers and we say the things we do, I'm sure God says, "Oh, here you go again." Just
that's right, that Dennis. Away. Every time I saw you sitting in the front pew down there on Sunday morning, right. I'd be like,
"Yeah, just be quiet." Yeah, just let me do it. I'm the one living right now. You're not living. You are. Your body is, but you have to realize I'm the one That's
don't living. Let the dead guy do it.
Yeah, I'm the one living this life. That's what we're learning. That's what we're striving to. If there's anything we strive for, is to see more of God and how that life that is our life being manifested, being expressed in the world. And getting our brain around that as well. This is the biggest caption, the biggest stronghold right here. Getting from here to here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big roadblock between the two, I think.
Right on. Well, guys, enjoy Super Bowl, all the things we talked about. Valentine's. Yeah. Wow.
Good dinner. Oh,
sunshine. Enjoy. Yeah. Just treat yourselves. Have fun, Bettendorfs. Yes. Travel. Be safe.
See you next week.
We'll see everybody then. David will be back in his territory and should be catching. I don't know where the Foondax were today, but I'm sure they're busy too with stuff. Yes, that's the sign. There we are.
that's the guard dog.
All right, guys. Have a great day, great week. God bless. Be Jesus.